May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 1116. Stricken, smitten, and afflicted, see him dying on the tree. 'Tis the Christ by man rejected. Yes, my soul, 'tis he, 'tis he. 'Tis the long-expected prophet, David's son, yet David's Lord. Proofs I see sufficient of it. 'Tis a true and faithful word. Hymn 1116.
commentary together from the Word of God, from the Paul's Epistle to the Romans, chapter 8, and beginning to read from verse 24 to the end, and then a few verses from his Epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 2. First reading from Paul's Epistle to the Romans, chapter 8, beginning to read from verse 24 to the end. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul's Epistle to the Ephesians, reading from chapter 2, and we will read just down to verse 13. Paul's Epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 2, reading the first 13 verses. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye, who sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. May the Lord bless those two portions of his word of truth to us, and help us to call upon him in prayer. O Lord, our God, once more we are favoured to gather together, assembly of thy people, a little company, Lord, those who this evening have come, and to make that sacrifice, to find and seek that time to draw near to thee. And Lord, we do pray, draw near by thy Holy Spirit, prepare each heart to approach unto thee. And Lord, we do pray, Lord, oh, that thou wilt come, draw our affections, draw our hearts toward thee, oh, that we might know what it is truly to spiritually feel after thee, to be true seekers of thy face, and that thou wouldest, Lord, appear unto us, each one. Lord, real religion is so personal. And Lord, may we each come with our own felt need of thee, a need of a Saviour and of a Redeemer. And Lord, that we haven't come just because our friends have come and our neighbours have come and those that are related to us have come, but that we have come because, Lord, our need is great. We're sinners, Lord. And, Lord, we need the comfort and blessing of thy presence with us, Lord, to come to us and to reveal to us the things of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we might be blessed this evening hour, blessing us with a living portion of spiritual meat and drink in the person of the dear Lord Jesus. And, O Lord, what a mercy it will be if, Lord, each one of us have come to thy house of prayer with a true hungering for thyself, for thy word, and that through thy Spirit, Lord, might be blessed with a living portion to do us good, Lord, to edify us and to help us to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. There may be a going on to know thee, Lord, and that there may be found with us each a spiritual prosperity, and that the things of Jesus Christ may be a blessing to our souls, the preciousness of his name, all that he came to do for sinners, and oh, that, Lord, we might be drawn to him, that he came to be our Redeemer and our Saviour. Oh, Lord, these things we want to know, and we want to feel, Lord, a part and a portion of thee, partaking of thee. O Lord, send none empty away, but may each be enabled this evening hour to see none but Jesus. So come, Lord, to each one of us, to each case. O Lord, each one differing before thee, differing, Lord, in their exercise, differing, Lord, in those things that are needful to them, differing in their circumstance, differing in their experience. But, Lord, we do pray that thou wilt come in all thy fullness and meet each case and need as they arise. And we do pray, Lord, thou wilt be with us in all our life and all our path, and help us, Lord, to truly serve thee and to follow thee in all that way that thou hast ordained for us. And, O Lord, we do believe that all our path being ordained in covenant in heaven, and we do pray, help us, Lord, to walk out that path here below. And we will need thy help, Lord. We're poor, helpless and insufficient in and of ourselves, Lord. And Lord, we're brought to feel our weakness, Lord, so oftentimes, Lord. And truly, Lord, as sin is revealed, sin in word, thought and deed, besetting sins. O Lord, how we do find at those times our unutterable weakness. For, O Lord, we cannot keep and save ourselves from sin. Thou knowest, Lord, that we wouldn't sin. Thou knowest that we wouldn't offend against thee. Thou knowest, Lord, that truly as thou hast suffered, bled, and died for us, oh, that we would not, Lord, seek further, Lord, to offend against thee. And so, Lord, sin that, and all its corruption and all the evil of our hearts continually rising up, and we do thank thee, Lord, that wonderful provision is opened up to us, that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And that if any man sin, O Lord, we do pray, O help us to venture to that one refuge for sinners, that fountain of thy precious blood, that we might be washed clean, healed, cured, absolute, and that we might be blessed, and with the anointing of that precious blood to our consciences, and that we might find peace and pardon. Do draw near to us, Lord, and as we continue, Lord, in our pilgrimage journey, we thank thee, Lord, for all the blessings of a covenant God, his gracious promises to his people, We thank thee for his love and mercy revealed and made known in Christ. We thank thee for all favours and blessings. We thank thee, Lord, for all that thou hast done for us thus far, in our pilgrimage journey. We can bear testimony to the truth that thou hast done all things well. O Lord, it may be that some, passing through such trials and afflictions and troubles here below, may wonder, Lord, how can this be such a comfortable path? How can it be such a smooth path? How can it be such a path, Lord, where we can rejoice and be glad? But, O Lord, help us to think of thy path, the path that thou didst pass through, the path, Lord, that was set forth, and that where, Lord, thou shouldest be that one to suffer so much here below and at the hands of many, and much detail in that first hymn. O Lord, may our complaining subside when, O Lord, we are brought to view thee and to see thee, Lord, those hands, the evil of men's hearts, and their malice, and, Lord, the Gethsemane scene, and then Calvary. O Lord, we cannot come into such a path as that. We know that it was for us. We know that it was for our sins. But we know, Lord, also that it was for love to sinners. And Lord, this is our mercy. Oh, let this humble our poor hearts, Lord, and help us to walk out that path that thou hast ordained for us, and that all complaining spirit may be removed, and that we may be brought to that place that we have read in thy word, all things working together for good, even the opposites, the adversity, the trials, the difficulties, the hard way, and sin. Oh, can sin work for good? Truly, Lord, as it is that that doth afflict our poor souls, and that thou through thy Spirit hath brought us to hate our sins, then, O Lord, it can work for good, because we have one indeed to flee to, and where we might find mercy through thy blood. So, Lord, we do thank thee that we are enabled to continue. Grant that persevering grace to us, and help us to lean upon thee and trust in thee for everything that is before us. It is an unknown path. But, Lord, although we say that it is an unknown path, it is so to us. We know that it is ordained. We know, Lord, that thou hast truly in thy works set forth our way and path in providence and in grace. And we do pray, Lord, that we truly may be brought to pass that way, and to do all thy will, and to wait upon thee for everything. And we do pray, Lord, that as we continue and journey on, that we may be enabled still to trust in that name, that one who is ever faithful, that one who is ever true, that one who has never failed in any promise, that one indeed who through the Lord Jesus Christ hath saved and redeemed us, who spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, the promise fulfilled. O Lord, we do pray that we might be helped to thank thee and to praise and to bless thee for for all that thou hast done for us and are still doing in our lives. Help us prayerfully to commit our all to thee and do work in us to will and to do of thy good pleasure, and lead us forth in that right way, even unto a city of habitation. Help us, Lord, to forget those things that are behind and to reach forth to those things that are before, and to press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Lord, do help us. And Lord, truly our venturing forth shall not be in vain. And Lord, our path, O Lord, it may be trying, and yet, Lord, it is that path where thou wilt work all things to our good. Be with us in our homes, our families, children, children's children. Lord, thou knowest how that we pray for them, and again we commit them into thy hands, Lord, that thy rich mercy may come upon them, Lord. Or that as we have been blessed with redeeming love and blood, oh, do help us, Lord, to prayerfully commit them also to thine ever merciful hands, that they also indeed might know what it is to turn to thee, to feel a need of thee, to feel and sense their own sin through thy Spirit. Oh, Lord, we do pray thy rich mercy come to them, and, Lord, that they may be brought to see, Lord, their need of thee and of a Saviour. Do keep them from this world, Lord, this world that lieth in wickedness. Do preserve them, Lord. Put thy love around them, Lord, if it be thy gracious will. Oh, to keep them, Lord, and to keep them from all temptation, to keep them, Lord, from the wickedness and the evil. O Lord, we do pray that thou wilt come in thy rich mercy, that their hearts are not turned aside, that they're not left to themselves, that they're not left to walk out their own path here below. O that path, Lord, and where, Lord, to be left alone, and in this world, is a broad way to destruction. O Lord, we do pray of mercy. Change their hearts, renew them, Lord. Bring them to thyself. And so, Lord, we prayerfully commit them unto thee, that thou wilt appear in thy rich mercy. Be with thy church and people here as they gather together. Bless them with thy presence. And do grant grace to the deacons, Lord, and help them to know that truth and blessing of those that they have the welfare of thy people at heart, praying for them, seeking their spiritual good, and helping them, Lord, and pointing to Jesus in all matters that concern them. Help thy servant now to speak in thy name, in mouth matter and wisdom for him. Lord, show him what to say, what to speak. May the precious things concerning Christ be revealed and opened up to us, and that our souls might be blessed. And Lord, those continued revelations of thyself and thy mercy to sinners. So be with us each now, Lord, sower and reaper together. May the precious gospel be preached, not only here, but, Lord, in our little companies that gather together in thy name. Lord, do be with them. Be with each unable to attend this evening hour. Draw near to them, Lord, each one. Bless them where they are. Keep them and preserve them in thy love and fear. Seek and ask these mercies in and through the name and person our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn 928. Thou sinners advocate with God, my only trust is in thy blood, thou all-atoning Lamb. The virtue of thy death impart, speak comfort to my drooping heart, and tell me all thy name. Hymn 928.
Seeking the help of the Lord, desire to come to the words that we held this morning in Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 4, reading from verse 4 to 6. Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 4, reading from verse 4 to verse 6. There is one body, one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. There's only one way of salvation. That's salvation by God. And that way that He has provided. One way. and it may be a blessing truly if each one are brought to follow through these words. And see that everything that has been provided of our God, will bring us to this salvation, as I made mention this morning. There's nothing here connected with the world or connected with the flesh. Not at all. Nothing. There's one body. This is the church. The church that have been gathered. The church that have been brought together. And we made mention of one or two blessings of this one body. Christ is the head, one body. One people. That host of names, that 144,000, just indicating a perfect and a complete number, but there won't be a soul missing out of that great number that are born into this world from the beginning of time to the end of time. There will not be one soul missing in that great number. These words of our text will give the certainty and the surety of the fulfillment of this one body. They will be gathered from every time and generation into this body. These that are gathered are the sinners, the vile, the base, the undone. Think of Manasseh, think of Saul of Tarsus, think of us, where we were. We've read it together in that second epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, where we are by nature. But dear friends, the gospel is preached today, and there will be this gathering and a bringing together, this one body. And it will be a blessed and a glorious body. They, each and every one brought into this body, will be brought through the cross of Christ, and they will all bear testimony to what Christ has done for them. And it will be in not just this one body, it will be in little communities. This is one of them. One body. And dear friends, I pray that each one of us may have a prayerful concern that we might be found inside of this one body. This one body is the company of God's people. They will all be brought together. They will all come by and through that same way and means that God has provided, even through Christ. They will all come together, one body. And it is so important, dear friends, that we seek the Lord, that we seek his mercy, that we might be found in this number. And dear friends, if Christ come in his rich mercy and win thy heart, you will not need anything else, dear friends, here below. There will be none to compare with him, none whatsoever. He will be to thy soul the altogether lovely one. Oh, as the apple tree amongst the trees of the wood, so is my beloved amongst the sons. There will be none like him. No, dear friends, one body. And then the wonderful provision of our God. We must see this one Spirit, Father, Son, and Spirit, the thrice holy God, three persons in one. Faith believes it and receives it. One Spirit. And this Spirit's work, friends, is to seek out and to save that lost sinner. And it will not fail in its work, in the accomplishment of it. It cannot fail. See the truth of that in the Gospels. The 500-pence debtor, oh, see where she was, dear friends. The woman of Samaria, Zacchaeus. Didn't fail, dear friends. And see the providence of God in it. He must needs go through Samaria. Dear friends, he must needs come to that sycamore tree and behold Zacchaeus. Yes, because salvation hath come to thy house. And the Holy Spirit, dear friends, is the teacher of the Lord's people. And what a mercy it is if the Holy Spirit will come and convince and convict of sin. And friends, if that work be begun, it is a wonderful work. I know, dear friends, it will bring us to agonize. It will bring us to the throne of grace. Yes, it will bring us into affliction. I know some, dear friends, the conviction of his sin. Friends, he had to go to hospital. Such was the conviction. It made him poorly. But dear friends, the blessedness of the wondrous work of the Spirit, when that one was indeed brought to see, is all and in all in Jesus. Might think, friends, oh, how worthy it was that he should be afflicted so. One Spirit, we concluded this morning with this one Spirit. And, dear friends, it will be a life seeking the blessing of the Holy Spirit. In our worship, dear friends, it is empty and it is vain without the anointing of the Holy Spirit, without the Holy Spirit take of the things of Jesus, bless them to our souls. How unprofitable it will be, dear friends. We do need the gift, the blessing of the Holy Spirit. And friends, that Holy Spirit of God, oh, what a mercy it is, you see, that by and through this one Spirit, not only are we convinced and convicted of sin, but oh, the comfort of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. And friends, we live upon that truth, do we not, day by day, the truths of the Gospel, the truths of the Scriptures, doctrine, dear friends, and all the promises of a God in covenant with his people. Dear friends, the Holy Spirit doth take of them all, bless all the promises to us in our times of need, to support and to strengthen our faith. And so, dear friends, I just made mention this afternoon about those two upon the Emmaus Road. You know, the Lord came to them. He spake of himself, beginning at Moses and through the prophets. His sufferings at Calvary, those things that were ordered of God at Jerusalem. And he spake with power into their poor souls. Oh, it quickened them. Oh, it enlivened them, dear friends. Their heart burned within them. We want to know more of those times and seasons, more of those visits of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, revealing the precious things of Jesus to our souls. And not forgetting, dear friends, that every visit and every token, every word, is a token of heaven. But these are the confirmations, dear friends, that we shall be blessed within the way. Even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. Isn't it a mercy to to have this divine calling, this heavenly calling, called to see our sins, called to repentance, called to behold Jesus, a calling. Dear friends, it's one of the greatest blessings that you can come into the soul of a poor sinner, to be called, to be, if we are called, we are chosen. And this is our mercy. One called. I don't know this calling. It is as we are blessed through the word, this calling certainly without any doubt whatsoever indicates God's choice of us, a calling. And it will be a calling out. It will be an effectual calling. It will be a calling by grace. And I believe this truth, wherein he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Called by the gospel. And what a mercy if the Lord will meet with us in that way, through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel of God's free grace and love to sinners, the gospel where God has revealed his love, his mercy, his favours, all his attributes. In the gospel of Jesus, all beheld in him. But oh, to come into this calling. And we read that together. In Paul's 8th chapter of Romans. And what a mercy it is to be one blessed. Let us just see the beginning of this calling. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. You see, we've read together, we were the image of the devil. But dear friends, the image of his Son, that divine change. You know, where all of self, dear friends, is consumed, the world, and all that Satan is and in us, all the evil. You see, conform to the image of his Son. Dear friends, what grace is shown to us here. And then this truth. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. Called. Called to know and feel our sin. And remember the word predestinate. Beforehand, you see. It was all ordered and ordained. And before the world began. And this is the mercy that we mentioned this morning. And just now. This number. All known of God. They're all here. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And there was a hope with our calling, because when he called us, what was the blessing? We were brought to feel our need as sinners. Oh, the Lord had broken up all the hardness and the rebellion of our hearts, shown to us the ruin of our nature. And Lord, and friends, he brought us to that place of real and true humbleness and weakness and insufficiency of ourselves, and given repentance to us. And then we're not left there with that repentance. This repentance, dear friends, has brought us into confession. What the Lord has seen about us and in our hearts and in our nature, this repentance, dear friends, it is that that is also revealed and manifest to us. What he knows, what we feel. You see, what we've been taught about ourselves. But then he isn't going to leave us there. Or there will be a hope, one hope. And that hope will center in Jesus. That is our only hope. It was the only hope that dying thief had. I know that he first had faith to look to Jesus. Faith to know that he had a kingdom. But then Jesus said to him, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." The hope. You see, the hope is the expectation. Faith will draw. Hope is the expectation. And this was the mercy, wasn't it? As you are called in one hope of your calling. And we read together in this chapter, Romans 8. Saved by hope. Because it was that hope that looked to Jesus. None other, just Jesus. He was our only hope. And this is the mercy that we have here. Called in one hope of your calling. Now, there is another truth in respect of this hope. It isn't a hope, dear friends, that just abode for a moment and looking to Christ. What is the hope of our calling? Why, dear friends, it's the hope of eternal life. That is the hope. Oh, it isn't a hope, dear friends, that once we've been brought into the blessedness of salvation, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Saviour, Jesus Christ. And then another word, I believe, in Colossians. And the truth and the blessing of this hope. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. What is the hope of the gospel? My dear friends, it is eternal life, isn't it? That is the hope in the gospel. Eternal life. This is the truth and the blessing. And then this truth. This hope that we have of eternal life. Oh, may the Lord bless the truth of it to our souls. You see, there is an end, isn't there? And a purpose, and a glorious purpose. And it's so grand, dear friends. We're so poor at this time to being able to realise the grandness of this hope that we have in eternal life. Heaven, dear friends, the third heaven, paradise, where the dying thief was blessed with the promise. And this is the hope This is our expectation. And this is our mercy in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so may the Lord help us to continue. Each day, dear friends, will bring us to the fulfillment of our hope. The matter of this blessing is with the Lord, but it isn't an empty blessing. It is so full of rich mercy and honour and glory to the Lord to bring a sinner to heaven where he is, isn't it? Cannot think of anything more beautiful, anything more desirous for a poor sinner to have this hope in our poor souls. And then one Lord. One unspeakable gift given to us by God the Father. One Lord. One name. One means of salvation. No other name under heaven given amongst men whereby ye may be saved. One Lord. And oh, this blessed Lord Jesus, this Lord that is to become our Lord, this one who came to do all things for us, this one, and yes, I may have mentioned it before, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that he was rich, yet for your sakes became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. One Lord. And he came to this sin-cursed earth, dear friends, and in the nature of the children. And he came in love. He came to fulfill the will of his heavenly Father. He came to fulfill all covenant engagements that he undertook before the world began to save thy soul and my soul. This dear Lord, he left his ancient glory, dear friends, to come down just where we were. Just think of it, dear friends. He came just where we were, in our nature except sin, and all those things that he passed through. Yes. And he held our infirmities. They were sinless infirmities, but they were infirmities. And then this truth. How he was so reviled and so hated. And how that it appeared that day by day, one kind and another, they bore so much malice against him, so much envy, so much evil in their hearts towards him. But oh, this one Lord, this one Saviour, this one Redeemer, this one whom John saw coming before him, the Lamb of God that should take away the sin of the world, his own sin and the sins of this body, this church, this people. One Lord. And then this truth, who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Dear friends, thinking of Gethsemane, the awful scene there, dear friends, and we might say an awful scene was, dear friends, you see, this holy, this pure, this perfect man was going to bear the sins and the iniquities of his people in his own body upon the tree. Dear friends, body and soul together here now, sweating as it were great drops of blood. Dear friends, as it were, blood pouring through his pores. Thy sins and my sins, the sins of the whole church, going to bear in his own body, suffer in his own body. And then, dear friends, to go forth to the cross, that he should so willingly and lovingly go forth and be found in our room and place. Dear friends, the just vengeance and wrath of God was determined for us, for all our sins, was brought to bear upon the dear Lord Jesus. Oh, dear friends, he had to suffer. Oh, dear friends, he had to satisfy divine justice. He suffered for his people, and he suffered in our room and place. One Lord. When the Lord Jesus Christ, those wounds and those bruises, those stripes that he bore, the crown of thorns, the nails through his body. Friends, we cannot come into those sufferings. It is the punishment that was due to us. You see, deserving to us, and the hell that was deserving to us. He suffered that likeness of hell. Yes. One Lord. One precious Lord. And then he cried, "It is finished." When he cried, "It is finished," dear friends, he held in his heart the greatest love that he had for thy soul and my soul. The greatest love, he showed that love. It was dying love. Greater love hath no man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends. Wonderful truth. And then Peter says, "Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious." Oh, isn't he precious, dear friends, upon that cross? Isn't he precious in his person, in his merits? Isn't he precious in all that he came to do for us? Isn't he precious, dear friends, that it was for the sins of his people? Is he precious to thy soul and to my soul? Friends, the deliverance that he wrought for us. Friends, we, the mercy is, dear friends, that as we have read together in Romans, that we shall not enter into that condemnation. And dear friends, that is the hell, a burning hell. We shall not enter into that. And this is the greatness of our redemption through his blood. That blood that he shed to cleanse us and to heal us. And that blood that brought us to the blessing through the Spirit of the Lord to peace and pardon in our souls. One Lord. Friends, I pray that this one Lord may be your Lord and my Lord. We shall be lost unless it is so. One Lord. one faith. This faith, the gift of God. We've read it together. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Friends, it isn't anything of self and anything of the creature. Everything here, dear friends, it has left the poor sinner humbled, helpless, weak, insufficient, because here all the provision of heaven has been given, whereby that sinner shall be saved by grace through faith. Faith. And this is the mercy of this faith. It is a believing faith in the dear Lord Jesus. It is a believing faith in this one Lord, in his finished work at Calvary. It is that believing faith came to the Ethiopian eunuch. He said, "What doth hinder me to be baptized?" If ye believe with all your heart, I believe in the Son of God. Dear friends, the 53rd chapter of Isaiah was opened up to that poor man's soul. Yes, he believed in the eternal Son of God. But he believed, dear friends, that he came down to this earth and performed the blessed work of mediation for his soul. And that was opened up to his soul. And it was there that he beheld his Jesus as his Saviour and his Redeemer. It was there that he knew his pardon for all his sins. I believe. And this is the faith, a believing faith. Friends, without this faith, we cannot please God. This faith will draw the sinner to Christ. It was that was preached to his soul. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Dear friends, what a mercy it is if faith will draw the soul to Christ. I think I may just... No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. To be drawn to Christ, and a believing faith in his person and in his merits, and what he came to do for sinners at Calvary. See that believing faith as it was preached by Paul into the soul of Lydia. The Lord opened her heart that she was made attentive to the things that Paul preached. Her heart was opened. And dear friends, it was that living faith that heard and received those things that Paul preached. And dear friends, I do believe that a crucified Christ was preached by Paul. Oh, he delighted. Dear friends, he loved the cross of Christ. It was the dearest place to his heart. She heard and received, and she was blessed, and all her house. Another one cried, "What must I do to be saved? Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Believe in thee, Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Faith. And Paul preached Christ to his soul. Dear friends, this faith is a faith, precious gift. It reveals Christ as thy Saviour and Redeemer. It will draw thee to him, to this blessed Lord, a faith in his name, a faith in the work that he came to do, and a faith, friends, which will bless our souls, because this faith in Jesus will bring us into the glory of our souls. This faith is an overcoming faith. And in that sense of the word, John calls it an overcoming faith. This is how we have overcome the world, even by our faith. And dear friends, isn't it a mercy that faith has removed, as it were, all the obstructions, everything, friends, that would contend against us? Because faith, in the earnestness of the soul, is seeking Jesus for mercy. And that mercy is in Jesus upon the cross. Overcoming faith. And dear friends, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. Let us hold fast to Jesus. Let us hold fast to him that came to do everything for us. Let us hold fast to truth and doctrine. And then, another truth which, just in our mind in respect of this faith, and it is a truth that Jude speaks of. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Dear friends, it means holding fast to Jesus. Holding fast to him in faith, in love. Holding fast to his word and truth. Holding fast to the scriptures, holding fast to his promises, holding fast to all doctrinal truth. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Dear friends, we will need the blessing of this faith to keep us close to Jesus. And we have the throne of grace. And you know, how needful is that faith. And it is Jesus that will keep us in the faith. Just think of that time when Peter fell. Satan hath desired to have thee, to sift thee as wheat. And dear friends, that was a truth, wasn't it? He did. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Dear friends, what a mercy it is that we have one, dear, who can keep us in the faith, who can preserve us in the faith of doctrine, in the faith of truth, in the faith of salvation, in the faith of his word. And to be faithful to him. Be ye faithful unto death. And I will give thee a crown of life. One faith. One faith. One gift of faith. By our God. one baptism. It is important, dear friends, that as we made mention of the Ethiopian eunuch, we made mention of Lydia, we made mention of the Philippian jailer, what did they continue to do, dear friends? They were baptized, weren't they? One baptism. And it's total immersion, not a sprinkling. It's total immersion. The Lord Jesus showed to us the example of faith. He didn't need to be baptized, but he was approving of the, he was giving a heavenly approval of the baptism of John. And he passed through the waters of baptism, and he is our exemplar. May we follow in the steps of Jesus. If we have been brought into the blessing of these truths here, friends, let us follow Jesus. If we have come into that believing faith of his name, if he has blessed our poor souls with salvation, if we have a profession of faith to make in respect of this blessed and glorious person, this, dear friends, this baptism is the testimony of that faith. Following the Lamb of God, following him. It was a commission that was given to the disciples who were to become his apostles. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. It is a commandment then, isn't it? Dear friends, it will be an easy commandment to follow if Christ has humbled and broken up our poor hearts and blessed us with peace and pardon to our souls. Yes, we will come to this place of baptism. We will profess his name. We will not be ashamed of that dear man who suffered in our room and place. No, he wasn't ashamed of thee. He wasn't ashamed to suffer for thee, you see. And so then we shall not be ashamed to follow him in baptism. No. Lydia was baptized. The Ethiopian eunuch was baptized. And you see, that is scriptural, isn't it? Scriptural. And the Lord will honor it, you see. One baptism. That was a wonderful day. That was a wonderful day, wasn't it? At the time, the day of Pentecost. And it was there, through the preaching of Peter, many souls there, brought to feel their need of Jesus, convinced and convicted of their sins. If we think of this day of Pentecost here, and the words of our text today, this one body, one spirit, called one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Why, dear friends, it is enclosed in the whole of the Peter's preaching and the whole, friends, of the work of grace in the souls of these many thousand that was brought to feel the need of Jesus in the experience of these words. Now, when Peter preached to them and told them that it was by their wicked hands that they crucified Jesus, don't forget this, dear friends, it was thy sins that crucified Jesus. Don't forget this. Those wicked hands that crucified Jesus. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, said to Peter, oh, what must Brethren, what must we do? And Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And dear friends, if we just look a little further down, we will see the blessing of this truth. They all gladly received his word and were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. But what is the blessing following this baptism? Well, it's the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. Oh, we mustn't forget that. If the Lord will help us, we will come to remember him this evening. To remember him. What he did pass through. And to remember this truth. That it was for our souls. You see, do this in remembrance of me. Oh, that upper room, dear friends. Oh, it must have been a wonderful place to be there. Do this in remembrance of me. The tokens, the bread and the wine, the body in which he suffered, the precious blood that he shed. Now this is the blessing and the mercy. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. One baptism, one God. There is only one God, dear friends. The incomprehensible God. The omnipotent God. The omniscient God. The omnipresent God. The infallible God. The immutable God. A God, dear friends, who is the God and the creator of the heavens and the earth, who spake all things into being out of nothing. One God. And then this God, the God of the heavens and the earth, the Lord of hosts, this God is a God that has shown mercy. One God. And where is the mercy of our God? Who is a God like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity, that passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage, who retaineth not his anger for ever, but delighteth in mercy. One God. The psalmist says, this God is our God for ever and ever. This God that showed mercy, and this God who became our Father because of his reconciling work of Jesus through the cross, and whereby he has brought this body, this people, into the adoption of children. Our Father, which art in heaven. One God and Father. Oh, dear friends, he is our God. A holy God and a righteous God. And through Jesus and his finished work, his blood and righteousness, we're received of God. We're accepted of God because he sees us, beholds us and loves us in the person of his dearly beloved Son. What Jesus came to do for us, to reconcile us unto God. And dear friends, that is our blessing and mercy today. Outside of Christ, dear friends, God is not noble. He is not approachable. But it is what God has done in Jesus. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. And dear friend, what a mercy it is to be found included in all these blessings here, who is above all and through all and in you all. And dear friends, God doth abide in the hearts of his people. We are the temple of God. The Spirit of God dwells in us. This is our mercy today. And we belong to God. We are owned by him. And we are loved by him. And this is our mercy today. He is above all things, everything, and through all, and in you all. What great mercy it is then, that all these things that we have spoken here are a part of us and belong to us. And you know, one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father. Dear friends, we will live to praise and bless him forevermore, that these blessed and glorious truths belong to us. May we ever do so, to glorify him in what he has done for us, poor sinful worms of the earth, dear friends, raised up to such honour and blessing. Oh, dear friends, may it keep us low, may it keep us at the feet of the Lord. May it keep us before him as his children. God our Father. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £705, and on Monday for the Bethesda Short Stay Fund, £895, for both of which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Ince will administer the Lord's Supper after this service. There will be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Robert Field, who will also preach on Tuesday evening, instead of Mr. Ashby, who is still recovering from his operation. And God willing, Mr. Jabez Rutt will preach next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 517. We bless the triune God, the Father and the Word and Holy Ghost, God who must ever be, the mighty one in three, to all eternity, the Lord of hosts. Hymn 517. Thank you.
thy word and bless it to our souls. May a precious Christ be revealed in the gospel to us, that one thing needful. Draw near to us, Lord, as we seek to remember thee and all that thou hast done and passed through for us at Calvary to save us by thy grace. And may thy grace, Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of God the Holy Spirit, rest and abide upon each one of us, now and for ever. Amen.